No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. This is the Joe Gaither Show on BC Central. We're going to do a little mashup today, do two episodes in one, because we got a big game this weekend. Thank you all so much for watching us on the Missouri Central YouTube channel, Missouri Central on SI, and on the BC Central Boston College on SI YouTube channels, or checking us out on the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon, and likewise for the Joe Gaither Show on BC Central. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to welcome on our friends Joey Van Zimmeren and Kim Rankin, as we got some undefeated football teams squaring off this weekend at Faurot Field. Make sure you follow Joey Van Zimmeren at JoeyVZ_. Follow Kim Rankin at KMRankin1 on the Twitter machine, and read all their great work, Missouri Central, Missouri Tigers on SI, and BC Central Boston College on SI as well. Good afternoon. How we doing? We'll start ladies first. Kim Rankin, how we doing? Boston College, how is your week going? And are you ready for some real football this weekend? Actually, you've had a little taste of real football.
Yeah, doing good. Excited for the game this weekend. And yeah, we've already had a little bit of a taste with the Florida State game back in week one. But obviously the hardest game of the season coming up here on Saturday. And I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a great game. And just ready to see, you know, a really tough test.
Well, Thomas Castellanos and the Boston College Eagles were on display basically on center stage Labor Day night, taking it to Florida State, making them 0-2. But tell us a little bit about, we all watched that because it was the only game on TV. No one watched the Boston College and Duquesne game. What happened in this big old rout, 59-0, right? What happened? What did the Eagles show, or what did you learn about the program in week number two?
Yeah, you were close. It was 56, so very, very close. Very close, not much of a difference. But yeah, it was basically just Boston College, you know. Thomas Castellanos went 9-for-10 for 234 yards and 4 touchdowns, and was out of the game by the second half. He only played the first half. So I think the biggest thing from that game was really just seeing what the second string looked like in the second half. Because you can see what this first string does for Florida State. You could see what they did in the first half. I think they scored 42 points in the first half and then just scored 2 touchdowns after that in the second. So, I mean, it was just an absolute, absolute domination for the Eagles. Just, I guess, for a little bit of a way to welcome fans back into Alumni Stadium for the first home game of the season. So just lots of Eagles showing out on both first and second team there on Saturday.
Okay, a huge blowout for Boston College, and the good vibes are really going high in Chestnut Hill. So they got a huge game this week. And so let's turn to our other friend, Joey Van Zimmeren, who's working with us at the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central, covering all things Missouri Tigers, and the Missouri Tigers are 2-0. The last time we talked, Joey said this Buffalo team might be a little bit of a test. Well, they passed the test with flying colors. 38, right? Is that what I have? 38-10?
38-0, yep.
Oh, goodness gracious. Absolutely blowing them out. And Brady Cook, really kind of spamming them with Luther Burton there to get the offense sparked at the very beginning. Did you learn anything? Have you learned anything yet about Missouri beating Murray State and Buffalo through 2 weeks?
That's been the main point of conversation. And even after this Buffalo game is like, well, what really did we learn about this team? And it's still difficult to tell with as many positive takeaways as you could have from those first two games. It's like, all right, how much salt, you know, are we having the amount of salt you would see on a Wendy's burger with these takes, or is it more so just a little dousing? And so that's what Boston College is really going to provide, a really good, I don't want to use the word test, but a good checkpoint for Missouri to see where they're really at, to see how legit this team is. Not to take away from their number 24 ranking, but I think a lot of that is exactly what I hate about the polls, and that it's just so much based on, you know, a lot of it is the fact that they beat Florida State 2 weeks ago when Florida State was ranked number 10, and Florida State clearly is not the 10th best team in the nation. So no matter what, though, it's going to be, like Kim said, the toughest test for Boston College likely that they'll face all season, and the first one for Missouri before they start SEC play.
All right, so yeah, we're looking at 11:45. Boston College rolls in there as a 16.5 point underdog. So Kim Rankin, when we walked through the season schedule week by week, a couple months ago, both of us pretty much had this game written down as a loss, and neither of us really had this down as a ranked matchup. So you're kind of playing with a little house money. You're 2-0. You're going into Faurot Field. You're another 16-point underdog. They were, 17-point underdog against Florida State. So how can Bill O'Brien kind of repeat the script for going into another top 10 team's house and hopefully trying to steal a win?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just do what they've been doing. And that was kind of the main focus all week from Bill O'Brien and the players, is just play their style, what they can do, and take it one snap at a time, one play at a time, one drive at a time, rather than focusing on maybe if something doesn't go your way the previous possession, don't like think about it the rest of the game because it might mess you up down the line. They're really just focused on taking everything one little bit at a time and just doing what they can do. And although Florida State, like Joey talked about, wasn't the 10th best team in the nation when Boston College came into town in Tallahassee on Labor Day night, they're still a very dominant ACC program. And a lot of that ranking was because of last year. But, you know, no matter, you know, how bad Florida State ends up looking down the line this season, I still feel like that's going to be an impressive win. And I think that shows that they are a better team than last year. And I think they can put up a fight against Missouri. Like you said, we both picked Missouri to win, though, Joe. I still think that, not to get ahead, I still think Missouri's going to come out with the win there. I think they're just a better overall team. But, you know, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people anticipated. And I think Boston College is going to at least put up a fight throughout the entirety of the game until the clock hits triple zeros.
All right, so Joey, Boston College is going to bring in a very mobile quarterback in Thomas Castellanos, and you heard Kim say it, 9 of 10 last week. Not throwing the ball too much, and didn't throw the ball too much against Florida State either. So a lot of the questions this year for Missouri was on the defense. How will the defense replace the defensive coordinator, and how will they replace a lot of the production in the secondary, and really some production up front as well? Johnny Walker Jr. got his first sack of the season this week. Let me just throw it to you. In handling a mobile quarterback, how do you think Missouri is going to be able to do that this week?
Yeah, you mentioned Castellanos' stat line last week, only 9 completions, but 223 yards, something like that. So he's averaging like 25 yards per reception, which is crazy. But yeah, what we were talking about with Buffalo last week, we thought it was going to kind of be a kind of an experiment, kind of for Missouri to throw everything at the board to test out things against a mobile quarterback on the defensive side of things. However, Buffalo, I can't remember a single play where quarterback CJ Agbana took it down and ran with it. He did have a few rushing attempts. Most of those were designed quarterback runs, and that's something that Drinkwitz highlighted before facing Buffalo. With Castellanos, a lot more out-of-pocket stuff. That makes it sound like it's uncalled for. But stuff that he scrambled out of pocket, out of structure is a better term for it. where he touched down and run with it. And that was something that Drinkwitz highlighted too, that last year with Boston College, Castellanos wasn't really getting a lot of that out of structure opportunities. They were kind of putting him in a box a little bit more. Now this year, at least in the first two games, has a lot more freedom to make those decisions for himself. So we'll see how this team does against true mobile quarterback. We saw last week it looked like Corey Flagg was the main guy. I don't know if he was put on quarterback spies that much, but Corey Flagg was the main one helping out and defending the run game with the quarterback. I would expect that to be the same this upcoming week. I think Khalil Jacobs, the South Alabama transfer, is also going to help out there. But Corey Flagg just covers a lot of space quickly. He's bigger than Tyron Hopper, Mizzou's inside linebacker from last year, but he kind of has that same range of movement, at least horizontally, where he just has a really long stride and is able to track down runners in seconds. So I have no doubts that this Mizzou defense has the talent to contain Castellanos, at least.
All right, so on Labor Day night, Kim, when we were watching Boston College play Florida State, one thing that I really took away from, at least through the screen, was, okay, this team knows who they are. This team knows what they want to do, get after teams by running the ball downhill and kind of letting Castellanos pick his spot to throw the football. And they've seen that over 2 weeks. But one thing that I guess I didn't really predict was the multiple backs in the backfield. Trayshawn Ward, Cairo Richaud, Turbo Richard, all three backs with over 100 yards on the season. Obviously, you're still waiting on your first touchdown from Turbo Richard, but you've got three backs and then a mobile quarterback who, you know, he's not even in the top three. The other three guys are out rushing him through the first 2 weeks. What have you made of this running back by committee, and how can they kind of all work together to bring that physicality to Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the running backs have been really, really beneficial to the Eagles offense this season, but it's not just the fact for their ground game. I mean, Trayshawn Ward specifically was the top receiver in that Florida State game in week one, and he led all the receivers and receptions as a running back. So I definitely think that, you know, with the depth of being able to use running backs as receivers as well to kind of help out, gives them a little bit of a threat to the offense. And I think with Trayshawn Ward and especially Kai Robichaud, if some of the offense or the wide receivers like Jaron Bradley or Lewis Bond really, really step up, then I think they could definitely be a threat on Saturday. But that's definitely what I'd look for, is some step up from the receivers and the mix of the running backs also in receivers positions.
All right, Joey, when watching Missouri over the last 2 weeks, there have been, obviously, Luther Burton is the man, and Theo Weiss had a pretty nice little game against Buffalo as well, and the running backs have looked good in their action, but there have been points in both games against inferior opponents where it's just kind of lulled out a little bit offensively. You got off to the big lead against Murray State, and then it kind of felt like it lulled out, and then right here against Buffalo, seemed like it was a slow start before you really started to put some points on. So what's the focus, or what's the angle on making sure that you don't have any of these long lulls where you're going 2, 3, 4, 5 possessions in a row where it's just, okay, 3 plays and out, 4 plays and out, or worse, as you step into better competition?
I think we're really seeing the result of Mizzou's offense in 2023, how successful they were, teams having the chance to scout them. Obviously, there's the benefit of returning a ton of production in the pass catcher room, especially compared to defense. This Missouri offense is returning a ton of talent. They're returning their offensive coordinator, Kirby Moore, as well. First offense coordinator that Eli Drinkwitz hired in his time at Missouri, who really opened up things for this offense. And Missouri's whole offensive identity last season was just the explosive plays, whether that was the deep passes to their 50-50 ball guy, Theo Weiss, whether that was Luther Burden catching a ball just 10 yards past the line of scrimmage and then taking it for 50 with all of his jukes, whoops, and everything else that he does. And now, at least through these first 2 weeks, these defenses are being a lot more conservative. And obviously some of that is with the personnel they have on hand to be able to defend guys like Luther Burden. Theo Weiss becomes even more of a challenge, but also just the fact that they don't want to let up those big plays. Against Buffalo, they were playing 10 yards off on a lot of plays, even on third downs and shorts. If I was a Buffalo fan, I'd be very frustrated and confused why the corners were playing so far off. And you saw the Missouri offense kind of have to adjust to that. And that was a big part of the reason Theo Weiss had so much of his success. I believe 149 yards, 13 receptions. A lot of it came after the catch, which usually isn't his MO. But he was really able to take advantage of that. Luther Burden exited the game before the end of the first half with the illness. He should be able to go to this in this game. So we'll see what Boston College's defense's approach to this one. I think a big part of it for the Missouri offense to just be able to be more consistent, because like you mentioned, Joe, in this game against Buffalo in the first quarter, the Missouri offense had 2.5 drives, not looking great in any of them. Had to settle for field goals on 2 of them at the start, even after an interception from Marvin Burks. They only travel about 10, 15 yards down the field and have to settle for a 52-yard field goal. So consistency, I think, is going to come down to, one, just being able to see what these two defenses have given them so far. They've done a good job at taking what the defenses give them. And I think it's all a part of finding this new identity, and the running backs are going to play a big part in that, being able to be a change of pace, be more integrated in the offense, continue to get better at pass blocking. So that, like I said, there have been some lulls, and especially against the first two teams that they played, level of talent, you don't want to see that if you're Missouri.
All right, going back to Kim Rankin and the Boston College Eagles. This will be, and you've said it, the biggest test for the season thus far, and maybe the biggest test on the entire schedule. But you look at the Missouri offense, and you see Brady Cook, you see Theo Weiss and Luther Burden, and you see the running backs Michael Carroll and Noel as well. And so you see numerous options and weapons. Obviously, Duquesne is not going to challenge you in that fashion. And Florida State was a little bit deficient at the quarterback position and really couldn't run the ball either against Boston College. Got to credit Boston College's defense in that fashion. But when you look at the Missouri weapons, Kim, how do you feel that the Boston College defense will be able to either slow them down or frustrate them or get them into situations they don't want to be in to hang into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll do a pretty decent job of that. Boston College's defense, I mean, they've improved on, you know, so many aspects of the game in this offseason, but the defense in particular, the defense was the group that looked the most improved by the end of training camp. And they've looked very impressive so far this season. I've only allowed 13 points through 2 games, not as good as Missouri, but 13 points throughout 2 games is still pretty good. I think if they just really pressure Brady Cook and try to not give him as much time to throw and kind of make him a little nervous, then they'll have a better chance at, you know, maybe getting off the field sooner and getting a lot of rest. I feel like they're going to really have to try to get off the field as much as humanly possible and get some rest and give the offense a chance to go down the field if they want to have a shot at winning this game on Saturday. If they're out there, you know, if Missouri runs the time of possession clock and the defense is out there, they're going to get worn out. And, you know, they really haven't had that type of experience yet on being out there. They controlled the time of possession against Florida State. And then with Duquesne, most of them were out of the game by the third quarter. So they really haven't had that challenge of trying to get off the field, trying to get rest and trying to do that in between. And I think if they can just find ways to maybe, you know, switch possessions a little bit, they'll be in good shape.
Joey, we've talked a lot about the Missouri offensive line and obviously the addition of Caden Green. And, okay, we bumped him inside the guard. But on Saturday, there's going to be a huge matchup. And if Boston College is going to pull the upset, they're going to need their guy, Donovan Azarakou, to pressure Brady Cook a lot, get into the backfield and make him feel it. So how do we feel about Marcus Bryant holding up in pass protection against an elite pass rusher in Donovan Azarakou?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, and the fact when Kim mentioned this Boston College defensive line, I was looking at the pressure that Brady Cook has faced in these first 2 weeks, because it hasn't been a lot. On the few ones he's had, he's dealt with it pretty well. But again, hasn't been a lot. And there's only 9 pressures allowed on the year, 5 of them coming from Marcus Bryant. I think a lot of that is just the fact that he does – play left tackle, the hardest position on the offensive line. But yeah, Donovan Nesraku is no joke. Again, another part with this Missouri offense, finding their identity and kind of seeing how much that explosive play plays into it. The deep pass from Brady Cook is that they've struggled to connect on those deep passes so far this season. Brady Cook has been overthrowing a lot of wide receivers on those attempts. On the first game against Murray State, where he was trying a lot more of those, I believe he was 0-for-3, 0-for-4 on passes over 20 yards. So if they can get pressure on Brady Cook, that is going to be a big part of it. Keep on invading the Missouri backfield with the two runners they got. Then let's keep pulling up that upset. I also think a big part of it is going to be getting off to a fast start for Boston College and more so preventing the Missouri offense from doing so, just because, you know, if Mizzou has an offensive start like they did against Buffalo, Boston College is going to be much less forgiving. And the advantage that Missouri would have by getting out to a quick lead is really just being able to control things. And also, Thomas Castellanos, even though a lot of the stuff he does is out of structure and improvising, probably is going to be less willing to make some risky plays, play out of structure if he's downplaying with a lead early on. So that will be a big part for this Mizzou game. And we saw, you know, against Kansas State when they pulled off the upset last year, Missouri offense was firing on all cylinders as soon as the game started. They had that 60-yard touchdown to Luther Burden on the second or third drive. And that's pretty neat to pull up the upset, getting their teeth right away.
Kim, how can we petition the TV schedulers to get this game from 11:45 to like maybe 7-8? You know, it's the only ranked game on Saturday. What the heck?
I agree with you. I know the game was like picked a while back, but yeah, I'm with you. I think if it's going to be not only a top 25 matchup, but the only one on, I think there's one on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%. I don't know if it's Arizona and Kansas State, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know if either one of them have dropped off or not. I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but this will be the only ranked game on Saturday for sure, regardless of those two teams. I agree. I think it should have been moved up to like a prime time or a better, you know, network or something like that when they found out that Boston College was going to be in the rankings. So I'm fully with you on that. And not to move ahead, but they're playing Michigan State in 2 weeks at like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, those should be switched, you know? So.
I have a personal vigilance in this. I had plans for Friday night that I'm going to have to alter my plans with. So, because I'm going to be up early at 7:30 to getting ready for the game.
Gross.
But it's not about me.
But it should be. But it should be. You're the lead reporter on the Missouri beat. They're playing their first big game of the year. We ought to put it at night. You know, everybody's going to be – all eyes are on Missouri this weekend. Joey, what has – we'll go to you right here and just kind of start to kind of land the plane and say Missouri avoids the upset if they do X.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, getting out to a fast start is going to be a big part of it. I guess the other thing is just winning the turnover battle. Pretty typical of upsets. Can't have stupid mistakes like that get in the way. Can't have them have any sort of momentum, because that's when doubts start getting into your head. That's when you start getting away from your game that it has got you to this point and makes you the team that you are. So winning that turnover battle, not making dumb mistakes, and getting off to a fast start of the keys for Missouri this weekend.
Kim, how confident is this Boston College team after beating Florida State and now being 2-0?
They're very confident. You know, they even talked about I wrote a story on it yesterday, but we talked to Boston College wide receiver Lewis Bond yesterday during media availability after practice, and somebody asked him how he felt playing an SEC opponent, especially, you know, with the SEC being the best conference in college football and especially a top-ranked program in the SEC. And he just goes, I don't care. It's just another football game we got to play. It's just another team. I don't see them as anything special. They're just the same old, like, it's just a team we got to play and we got to deal with. So they're very locked into just thinking of it as just this game. It's just, you know, they're not looking at, you know, the number six in front of Missouri's title, and rightfully so to an extent, but they've been really focused on just being like, yeah, it's just another team. Like, obviously they'll do, game notes and game, like, look at game footage, but they're pretty locked in. They even had Bill O'Brien talk yesterday, and a media member asked him something about Michigan State because they had just released the time for week four, and he cut the media guy off and said, no, just Missouri. Like, appreciate the question, but we're just thinking of Missouri. We're not talking about Michigan State until next week, and went on to the next question to talk about the Tigers. So they're very locked in, very focused, very ready for this game. They know what they have to do. Whether that shows up on the field or not is one thing, but their mindset is definitely there for this matchup.
All right, you said they know what they have to do. Bill O'Brien already won, top 10 win, and a 16-point basically cover, plus outright win under his belt in Boston College. What needs to happen to make it 2?
Yeah, I think the big thing is controlling. I said it a little bit earlier, kind of controlling the time of possession. And I think that's what happened with Florida State. I mean, you look at the final box score from that game, and it really doesn't do it justice. I mean, through the first little over one quarter, Boston College had the ball for, I think, 14 and a half minutes versus 2. And a lot of that was, you know, DJ throwing a lot of incompletions, getting the offense out really quickly. But I think if they just control the time of possession and really just limit penalties, which is something that has been huge for the Eagles, it's something Bill O'Brien has talked about during the offseason training camp. It's definitely one of those notes that they have had. And they've only had 6 so far this year. They had 1 against Florida State and 5 against Duquesne. But I think as long as they just play clean and control the time of possession, I think they'll be in good shape to have an opportunity to pull the upset.
All right. Your total, Joey Van Zimmeren, is 53.5 at 11:45 in the morning. So you guys are going to be up way early. Read all about it. Missouri Tigers on SI. You'll have live updates right there. And you'll have live updates on Boston College Eagles, Boston College on SI from both perspectives. So Joey, we'll throw it to you for kind of final predictions here. 16-point favorite. What do you think how do you think the game kind of ends up? What it will be, 3 o'clock or so, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll be wrapping up. Mm-hmm. What do you think the result will be?
I think it will be a pretty competitive game, but I do see Missouri kind of separating themselves in the fourth quarter. I think I think they cover the over under. I don't think Missouri covers 16-point spread.
16 points.
But I'll say, like, right around 35-20 sounds right.
Kim, give us your prediction. What do you think is going to be what you're going to be riding at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, I agree with Joey. I think, you know, I think it's going to be a competitive game. Like I said, I will. And even though I was wrong about Florida State, I'm still holding true to the Missouri. I think Missouri is going to pull out. I think, you know, their crowd and just them being a dominant program overall. And even though they've played, you know, not any, you know, big opponents yet this year, I still think they're just as good, if not better, than they were last year. And so I think they're going to pull away from it. I think Boston College just doesn't have enough experience playing those dominant top opponents so far just yet. But I agree. I think it's going to be closer. I don't think they're going to cover the spread. I think the margin of victory is going to be less than 16.5, but I think it's going to be a really offensive game. I mean, you're talking about both offenses of each team can be super explosive. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game. So I think I take the over on total points, but they won't cover the spread for sure.
All right. So I'm going to ask you each one more question as I'm looking at the schedule, because this is coming. It's a big game for both teams, and obviously it's one of the two ranked games this weekend, and maybe there's a little fudging of the AP poll to get Boston College in there, so we have a little intrigue. But you look at the schedule, Missouri is about to jump into SEC play. So, Joey, I'll start with you, and then we'll go to Kim, and the question will be very similar because the schedule is kind of set up similarly. You play this game, and obviously you've had this ramp-up period, Murray State and Buffalo. Now you're playing Boston College. How does this ramp up period, because your next game is Vanderbilt, and you remember from one of our episodes in the summer that we're all kind of building up to that big road trip to Texas A&M. Just how do you think this is kind of working out as far as just kind of the story of a season, and where, I mean, I don't want to like make it all flowery and you know, make it all fairy tale, but just kind of how it's kind of working out as far as the progression of a team who's working through kind of some early season changes.
Yeah, for sure. I think Missouri has benefited from having the schedule the way it is, having two light opponents to start off, because they have shown in these two games, no matter how dominant they have been, that they kind of needed those two games to work some things out. The lead for the story I was writing for this past week's game, and then I eventually changed it, but I was originally going to go with Missouri needed this game against Buffalo. A lot of penalties. Had those offensive inconsistencies to start off the game. So we'll see if they're able to fix those this week. I mean, that's another thing we were just talking about, keys to the game. Missouri can't have, I think it was 9 offensive penalties last week against Buffalo. A lot of holdings in there, a lot of false starts. Missouri would hope at least that they can work those out. As far as what this game means going forward, it is interesting. I think to have this win over already a ranked team, that was the knack on them last year, that they didn't beat any ranked teams, but that was just out of the teams that finished in the top 25 of the AP poll. They beat plenty of teams along the way that were ranked at the time. But to be able to this weekend be the only team in the top 10 playing any other top 25 team is a great opportunity to shake things up in the polls. So if they lose it, it's going to be pretty detrimental to their season, obviously. But this would give this Missouri team quite a bit of confidence, even though it is Boston College, but they're the 24th team in the nation. And to get this win would give them a heck of a lot of confidence heading into SEC play, especially with a Vanderbilt team that looks tougher than they probably initially expected.
Kim, we'll flip it to the Boston College side because the schedule is sort of interesting as well. You got the first game with Florida State, the ACC game that you basically stole. And the ACC, did you wrong scheduling you Florida State on the first day of the season. But you stole that in Tallahassee, and then you get the gimme with Duquesne. But you've got a real challenging matchup. We've talked all about it for 30 minutes now. Next week, you kind of just tease Michigan State, and the week after Western Kentucky. So you're wrapping up your non-conference schedule, win or lose against Missouri. How can the result basically give you confidence or give you something to build on to close out the non-conference schedule with hopefully two wins against Michigan State and Western Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what happens with, you know, possibly Michigan State or Western Kentucky or even this game, I think if Boston College just pulled the upset or even just plays a tight game, I think that really shows a lot for this program, because we're talking about a college football playoff that actually has room for error this year. You know, I know Boston College people talk about them wanting to get into the playoffs. Like, I see a lot of fans talking about it. But realistically, coming from a 7-6 season, it's not super probable to think that they are going to automatically jump into the playoff the following year with a first-year head coach who has not coached in collegiate football since 2013. But let's say they do. I think even if they play Missouri really close, the ACC is such a question mark this year. We saw it with Florida State. We saw it with Virginia Tech and Vandy, like you just talked about a second ago, that, you know, there's room for error. So even if they do just play tight and pull it out, I think it would still be a huge game for this program. And I think it'll still give kind of a statement to the world. Because like you said, although they did play Florida State was not as the 10th best team in the nation when we played them. The only reason they were still ranked 10th is because they didn't put out a poll after week zero and that Georgia Tech game. So I think it'll be really good for the program regardless of a win or a loss, as long as it's played tight, competitive, and short. And then depending on what the outcome is, I mean, if they win, then they take that motivation into Michigan State, who is also 2-0. I know Michigan State is very kind of hit or miss each year, but they're currently undefeated. And then Western Kentucky, who, you know, me and you, Joe, saw a couple weeks ago, who did not look as good as I think they could have been this year with TJ Finley. But I think that just either gives them anger to go 4-1 in this non-conference slate technically, or gives them the motivation to go into ACC play possibly 5-0. So I think it's huge for the program regardless of the outcome, but I think as long as they play it tight, not only will that make a statement to kind of the college football world about this team and this program, but I think it'll also help, even if they do end up losing and possibly trying to get into the playoff and where they want to be at the end of the season.
It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, 11:45. We will have coverage from both sides of the coin. Kim Rankin in Boston College with the Boston College Eagles, Boston College on SI. Make sure you follow her at BC Central on SI. Follow her at KM Rankin 1 on the Twitter machine. She will have all the coverage of the Eagles, win or lose. Joey Van Zimmerman will have a whole team there. He's going to be managing a lot of people up there at the Faro Field Press Box. Follow him at JoeyVZ_. Follow all of his work at MizzouSI on the Twitter machine and Missouri Central, Missouri Tigers on SI right there on the website. So, guys, hope y'all have a lot of fun. Good luck. Don't talk too much trash to one another. Keep it cordial. Keep it professional, I guess. Keep it between the lines, guys, as we look to see one of the bit more intriguing games of college football this week. Thanks so much for your time, each of y'all. It's going to do it for our show today, and we'll get you out of here right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central and BC Central. We thank everybody for joining us. We really thank both of our reporters for combining their time today. And we hope all you guys have a great weekend and enjoy the game against one another. I'm looking forward to seeing the outcome and seeing how it propels each program forward through the rest of the year. So we'll get out of here for the week. We'll be back with you next week to kind of cover the results and set you up for the next matchup. Boston College taking on Michigan State, Missouri taking on Vanderbilt. So big games for both teams on the horizon in week number 4. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you'll be able to check it out right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central and the Joe Gaither Show on BC Central, right here on each of your respective websites.